This is a message series we've been in called Who Is This Jesus? And this message title today is King of Hearts. Let's go ahead and have Lisa read.
Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them.' He will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. They were stirred up and saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It would be very difficult it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. It would be very difficult for him to make that happen, seeing as he was a baby inside of the womb. It would be very difficult for him to, even though it was prophesied that the soldiers at the foot of the cross would be casting lots for his garments, it would be difficult for him on the cross to say, "Hey, go ahead and fulfill that prophecy and cast the lots for my garment here." There's like over 100 or so of those kind of prophecies where Jesus couldn't really have any control over them. But this one he did, and it was for a reason. This one, he wanted to define something. He wanted to help people understand something. And when he took this scripture, we're going to look at the prophetic scripture in the midst of the text. "The king is coming for you, humble and mounted on a donkey." We'll look at that for a minute. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the nature of who he is, the Son of David. Let's go ahead and fill in the blank there. Son of David, the first fill in the blank is that he is a conquering king. Jesus had showed up at there was a little series of events here. Back in Matthew chapter 9, there were two blind men, and Jesus went into a house. And it's really interesting to me that the people that are saying on two different occasions, there's four different blind men who call Jesus the Son of David. And the Son of David is a title, and it's there on your paper, but it really means he's the ultimate king. He's the Savior of the world. It's a designation. And this designation is so important. And so they're seeing Jesus come as this deliverer who has ultimate authority and ultimate power. And Jesus is being called by the people who can't see. They see. And they start this thing, Son of David. And then the Syrophoenician woman, who's really not in the fold with the Israelites, also begs him because she's heard that he casts out demons. And so she comes and again says, "Have mercy on us, Son of David. My daughter is tormented with a demon. Would you free her?" Then another time, everybody's sitting around and Jesus is teaching, and they said, "Could this be the Son of David?" Because they've seen him take dominion over demonic powers. And the Pharisees rose up and said, "No, because he cast them out by the spirit of Beelzebub." And they're in reaction to the concept and Jesus of Jesus being the ultimate king. who is this 32-something-year-old guy that can do all these things? Let's just step here for a minute and just go ahead and say, again, Jesus received worship. There's nobody on the planet that when they were worshiped, took it to himself. Jesus was not immodest about being the conquering king. He was very sensitive and very gentle and very forthright, but when it came to receiving worship as God himself, he received it. Nobody stands in front of people and receives worship like Jesus does. Nobody has dominion over the elements of the earth and the demonic and the spirit realm, and can heal and flow in the Spirit of God like that. And so when it comes to the declaration of who he is as king, he says, I'm the conquering king. And there was these two things in the Old Testament scriptures. One of them was this coming as the Messiah will come as this conquering king. And then there was this other version that nobody liked much, and it's that he would come as a suffering servant. And so Jesus has come, and so you have this, the Syrophoenician woman, and then you have the moment where this, could this be the Son of David? And then it drops off for a little while until right before, on the Palm Sunday moment here, and you have two other blind men. And they start to rise up and they call out. This is in chapter 20, at the end of chapter 20. And they start calling out right before verse 1 of chapter 21. And they're saying, Son of David. Now look, here again, watch this. Jesus receives the title. They're calling him the Son of David. And everybody knows it's ultimate King of the world, Redeemer of all mankind. They know what it means. And that's tied to, because there was a promise given a long time ago to David, and it says in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up from your offspring after you, and you shall, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And in verse 16, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, your throne will be established forever. So when it comes to this signification of the Son of David, it's about a forever kingdom. How many of you know this particular verse from Christmas time, Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7? For unto us a child is given, born, and a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and evermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. So now, when it comes down to the reality of Jesus being God and the Son of David, he doesn't ever back off. Ever. And when it comes to the declaration of who he is as the Son of God, he leaves no middle ground. Are you ready? Jesus says, crown me or kill me. But I'm nothing. I am this. You can crown me or you can kill me. There is no middle ground. This is who Jesus Christ is. He's the conquering king. Go ahead and elbow somebody. Said, he is going to come back on a white horse one day. Yes, he is. Go ahead. A white horse is going to happen. But not this one. Let's go ahead and look at point number two. Point number two, he is the humble king. The conquering king, number one. Number two, the humble king. The humble king. And when Jesus goes ahead and takes this, he fulfills this scripture, what he's doing, again, is he's defining once again to them. You know, Jesus, when he spoke in parables, often it was an object lesson, right? He would take an object. Well, this is a living object lesson because they weren't getting it. See, what happened is when he started receiving, the dynamic shifted when they added the word Hosanna to the Son of David. The dynamic shifted. It literally threw everybody in kind of like a sense of the disciples into kind of a crisis mode at that moment. Because Hosanna actually means save now. Save now. And they were thinking conquering king, right? conquer, which means overthrow Roman government, overthrow the Roman government. So now they're all sweating going, okay, now we got to get in gear. Jesus is coming as the conquering king. And so Jesus is going to obliterate that whole idea. And he tells two disciples to go over to Bethage, which is a little town next to Bethany where Lazarus was raised. There are two little towns right next to each other. And everybody around there, I think this is where the crowd came from, because when the guys went and got the donkey and the little fowl to walk after, when they got the animals, when they're bringing them, I think the crowd started coming with them. This is the only event I think Jesus actually commandeered the whole thing, because he wanted to make a statement. And when you're the king of glory, and you want every... Look, he already taught them. He said, listen, guys. He already taught them. They were already arguing one time about who was the greatest. And he goes, okay, guys, look. The Gentile rulers lord it over one another, but that's not how we're going to do it. He already taught them. If you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you got to be the least of all. You're going to be the servant of all. He's already taught them. But it's not going in. Have you ever been taught something that doesn't go in?
No.
It just goes right over your head. So Jesus goes, he goes and gets the scripture, which this is, there's two places. There's actually one that's prophesied of Judah. I have this one. The scepter, this is Genesis chapter 49, verse 10 and 11. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him. And to him shall the obedience of all peoples. Binding his fowl to the vine and the donkey's colt to the choice vine, he was washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. What a beautiful poetic picture of Jesus coming. But now here's the one in Zechariah that he quotes. Greatly rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So, basically, they're not getting it. And so Jesus says, I know how to get them to get it. He sends two disciples down. And now, he brings out a donkey and he sits on the donkey. And it really messes with everybody. Because a king who comes to take over rides in on a horse. And nobody rides in on a donkey except a servant. He says, if you haven't got it yet, you're going to get it now. I'm coming in and I'm a different kind of king. I'm the king of hearts. I'm going to do a work in your heart. I'm coming to serve you. And he's been serving and serving and serving and serving. He says, I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. And he's been breaking the powers of hell. He's been overthrowing the works of sickness. He's been forgiving sins. He's been doing the thing in the hearts of the people. How many of you, before you came to the Lord, or it takes time to learn the ways of the Lord, how many of you have said, if you had just changed that person, I'd be okay. If you just changed the circumstance, I'd be all right. That's the conquering king business. That's conquering king. Jesus. And sometimes the Lord comes in and shifts and changes an event and a situation for you. But how many of you discovered more often than not, it's the humble king. He says, we're going to work in your situation and we're going to start with you. We're going to start with your heart. Okay, look, I know the room is full of testimonies. I could go around with a microphone and ask for the testimonies. When the Lord said, when you're all hung up in a situation and the Lord says, okay, we're going to start with you. I want you to forgive. And you go, yeah, but if you would just change them. And the Lord says, no, their heart is not your business. Your heart is your business. How many of you know that the Lord begins in your heart? And once you're untangled from the bitter things, I know in my life, when I got untangled from the bitter things, my immune system got better and I got sick less. The benefits of the kingdom of God, the reality that Jesus comes and brings to us by dealing with our heart. Just tell the Lord right now, you're the king of my heart, Lord. You're the king of my heart. So he comes riding in on a donkey. On a donkey. He's a humble king. Now listen, he's going to come back. In Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, Jesus is coming. Come on, he's coming back on the white horse. He will come back on the white horse. He's going to come on the white horse. But he came, listen, we talked about this last week. What the word gospel means is that the word gospel means a fundamental change of the way things are done. And every religion, everything is all about performance, your performance. Every salvation, every way of salvation in every religion on the earth is all about your personal performance. And there's no assurance that you'll be saved, but there's some kind of a teaching that if you follow this teaching, when you get to the end of your life, somehow salvation will come to you. But that's not Jesus. Jesus says, "I didn't teach you the way of the salvation. I am the way of salvation. I am the way and I am salvation. So you receive me and you receive salvation." Completely different. The gospel is all about what Jesus has done for us. And the teaching is all about the explanation of how to live the life that he empowers us to live. It's not trying to follow a teaching to receive something. It's about receiving someone who empowers you to fulfill the teaching. Are you there? Now, I thought that was pretty good, but... So, point number three. Salvation is through him alone. I put this in your notes right there, because Jesus is always turning it upside down. He's always showing it the way that we think it's supposed to go is not. And so, this little statement on your paper is a take-home for you. Ready? Sin is servants putting themselves in the place of the king. All right? Therefore, salvation is the king putting himself in the place of the servant. Your salvation comes because Jesus lived the life you couldn't live and died the death you couldn't die for yourself to be saved. That's the essence of it. Jesus has come to die for us. If you are a Christian and you know that you're saved by the gentle king, then you'll be a gentle king emulating him in your life. When things go wrong, you'll say that you are a sinner on the one hand, but on the other hand, you'll say that you are loved and accepted by him. And this thing that has happened to me is not a punishment. God's got some good thing he is doing in my life through it. Is anybody there? Let's go ahead and set everything aside just for a moment. As Nick comes up. Turning it upside down, turning it around. Would you lift your head and close your eyes and just have an attitude of worship before the Lord just for a moment here? You've got circumstances in your life, just like I do. We each have areas where the first propensity in our heart, the first thing in our heart is, "Come conquering King, come conquering King, come conquering King." And the Lord says, "I'm going to come at this time in your life as a gentle, humble King. And I'm going to invite your participation." And he calls us to humility. He was a dynamo. His name was Paul. Paul had more energy than he knew what to do with, and he was using it in a negative manner. And then he was intercepted. And when it comes to Paul's life, everything had to do with a heart change. And everything in your life and my life has to do with a heart change. God's saying, "I'm going to do something down in your heart." And you don't have to ever feel alone, because the Lord is with you. We're in his presence today. We've been declaring some things. We said we want to seek you first. We want to keep you first. And when we come up on the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, there's an atmosphere that can press in upon us and make us kind of prickly, because the Pharisees, you know, it's funny, the same people that yelled Hosanna one day were yelling crucify him the next. There's this fragility in the human soul to look for someone to change something around you without God changing you on the inside. Let's go ahead and invite the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm giving you my heart during this day, right now, to do more of what you want to do in me, to make me more of what I can express who you are. Let's go ahead and say it in your own words. Thank you, Lord. Work in me, I pray. Lord, let the great forgiveness of the gentle King, Lord, as you were even hanging on the cross there, you, one said, I want to be with you in paradise, and you said, you will. Somehow you know what's going on in our hearts. You know what's going on right now in the room. You know what we have need of. Shall we worship him just for a moment here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. 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 For those of you who've had some harsh winds buffeting your soul, just allow the tender touch of the Holy Spirit to bring a soothing to you. For those of you that have had a real challenge in your own decisions and mindset about where you're at, what you're doing, just let the Lord have all of that right now. The Lord wants to take you as just gently as the King of Glory and set you in His presence and minister to you and cause you to sense your value and your worth in Him. You know that inside, but there's sometimes He just wants to drop something more in. We're so needy. We're just so needy. We're so needy of Him. Let's praise Him some more right now. There's been a fullness of His presence here today. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Would you pray this? Let me just lead you in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I declare you're the King of my heart. And I submit to you. I choose to become what you want. As you empower me, I lean upon you. Holy Spirit, come. Bring about that life of overcoming and the love that you have for me. And I choose to turn away from those things that would ensnare me. And I turn to you and praise you for overcoming power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We'll sing with me.